Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to worship together. I told the children that we was going to do a children's class tonight, so would all the children please come up here on these front benches here in the middle, and I have a little illustration to show you. A nice amount of children here tonight. That's great. I'm sure you all know the song, Jesus Loves Me, right? Let's sing that tonight. But instead of saying me, we're just going to point to ourselves, okay? So can you, I don't want to sing a solo. That might not sound so good. So are you going, let's stand up, okay? Maybe we can sing a little better if we stand up. Okay, let's sing Jesus Loves, okay? Jesus loves, this I know, for the Bible tells so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves, the Bible tells. Oh, that last one's always a tough one. You can sit down. One night I was leading songs at Bible school, and I kept doing it wrong, and I said, I'm going to do this till we get it right, and we had to do it three times until I got it right. And so, So I got a little illustration to show you tonight. I have heard kind of it was a true story. I'm not for sure, but supposedly there were a couple people that were talking, and the one man would always like to, he would like to share Christ with his friend, but his friend would not be very receptive to it. And so his friend kind of made a random statement. He said, if you can take a piece of paper and make one cut and come up with the cross of Jesus Christ, he said, I'll start to listen. And so this guy, he asked, the Lord showed him how to do it here. So I'm going to have to fold it here a little bit on the counter. But he began to fold, and he went like that, and then he went like this. And so now he's got a house. You know, it kind of looks like a house, sort of like you're doing an airplane. Okay, and then he folded it some more, and try to get these folds decent here. And then he folded it one more time, and then he took a scissors. Do you think it's going to work? I hope it does. Okay. So then he cut up through here, and he went like this and kept cutting and started unfolding pieces. Whoop, look at that. Okay, so I want to show you, he did more than that with it, okay? So he came up with the cross, and then the Bible says that they took a spear and they pierced Jesus' side. So there's a spear. And then it says that, now these here are not one. It takes two pieces to do these. But then he came up with these pieces. The Bible says that there was two thieves crucified, one on each side, and so there's the one, and then we have the other pieces over here for the other cross, and so there's the other one, and so here's that cross. And then, boy, I keep dropping them, don't I? Oh, that one fell off. And so Let's put that back up there. So there's that one. And then it says that they put a seine over his head. And so then he got the seine. And then it says that they gambled for his clothes. Okay? And so here would maybe be some dice that they could have used to gamble for Jesus' clothes. So in folding that paper the way he did, and he used every piece. There's nothing left of that paper, but it came up with the whole crucifixion scene of Jesus Christ with the cross, the title, the spear, the two crosses, the dice. And then the Lord showed him something else. Okay? He told his friend, he said, something happens. He said, when we take the cross of Jesus Christ out of there, he said, it kind of changes things. And so he took the pieces after the cross was out of there, and he started to line them up, and he said, when you take the cross of Jesus Christ out of that, and you don't have that in your life, he said, all you have left, what does that word say? Hell. So that's what happens, boys and girls, when we take the cross of Jesus Christ out of our lives, you know, and we just get rid of it. And so, but he just took that piece of paper and he folded it and he cut it one time and he gave a description to his friend of the crucifixion scene. And then what happens if you don't have God in your life? You want to see how to fold it? You want to try it at home? Okay. Might save some paper, huh? Okay, so you could show some of your friends this. So you just take a piece of paper like this, and like I said, just act like you're making an airplane. And so you fold it like that, and then you fold it like this, just like you kind of would if you were making a paper airplane. And then you fold it again, just like that. But if you was making an airplane, you would make it like this, right? You'd put the wings down. Instead of doing that, you fold both of them over like that. Okay? And then it's pretty important where you cut, because remember how the cross of Jesus Christ was bigger than the other crosses? If I cut over here, the other crosses will be big, and the cross of Jesus Christ will be little. So about one-third of the way over on the short edge is where you want to cut it, okay? And it'll work. So remember, you always want the cross of Jesus Christ in your life, okay? You can go back. What did we say? What is our verse, Ben, that we've been saying? Can somebody quote it? To start each night? That's right. Let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So today, we all probably made some decisions that either helped us on our way, or maybe it hindered us. And it was only one day, so it doesn't seem like that much, but then there's another day and another year and another year. So I just challenge you, what decisions did you make today, and what direction is that taking you to? And so we'll put this back up here. All righty. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and we want to talk tonight about the power and the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, and what that means for us as believers and us as men. We are often intrigued by power. I remember, not quite so much anymore, but when my boys was younger, they'd say, "Dad, look at that car," or "Dad, look at that tractor," or "Dad, look at that. How many horse do you think that has?" And we're kind of intrigued by power. Now, women are not so much, but they're intrigued by other things. And so, as I think about that tonight, as we talk about the power of God in our lives, I heard a statistic recently, and I'm not for sure where you... I can't quite remember the percentages, but it was very, very radical. And it said that if children grow up in a home where mom serves and loves the Lord, 15% of the children follow. But if dad is in the home and he serves and follows the Lord, it's over 90% profess. I don't know how they show all that, but so we as men tonight, we have a tremendous responsibility to allow the Spirit and the power of God to rule in our lives and to encourage our children. And you as, I've said several times over the pulpit that you as sisters and ladies in the home, you have a tremendous part to play. And I know this seems a little different than the statistic that I just said, but when both parents profess to know the Lord, sometimes I have observed that when both parents serve the Lord, that if the mother is out of her place, it almost seems to be a little more devastating than if the father is a little bit out of his place. I don't know why that is, but I have seen some of that sometimes over my lifetime, that it almost seems like sometimes, even though both are Christians, that the actions of the mother plays a tremendous part on those children. And so we all have a tremendous part to play. And yet all of us, as if you're here tonight and you're a young person or whatever, we all still have to make that choice to serve God. God did not predestinate me. He did not predestinate you. We cannot, there is some terms in there that are whatever, but you understand what I'm saying. He gave us a choice. And the choice tonight is ours to make if we want to have this power. Your church can't give it to you. Your ministers can't give it to you. Your parents can't give it to you. It is an individual responsibility for us to tap in to that power. Nobody else can read and pray for you. They can pray for you, but the only way for you to really receive that power is to come to Jesus Christ for every one of us. And so tonight, to begin with, let's turn in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And, you know, sometimes I think we take for granted the power of God. And I think so often we take for granted what we are fighting against. I believe that sometimes if we could see the darkness, we feel it, don't we? But if we could see the darkness that we are fighting against, it would help us to run to God and to realize how we need the power of God and His Holy Spirit in our lives. But in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." So we have a God tonight, And maybe you use these terms, and I'm not here to whatever, but we serve a God tonight that is not a higher power. He is the power, okay? He's not the man that lives upstairs. He's not renting an apartment, or I'm not renting a... He's God. And so God is above all else and every other creature that's ever been created. And the power of God, He wants that to be in our lives. And we're going to talk about that tonight, what it does when the Spirit of God is working in our lives. And you know, when you think a little bit about the power of God, in the Bible it says in Genesis that God created all things, and we know that. And then at the end of, I don't know for sure what verse it is there, it says, oh, and He created the stars. Sort of like, oh yeah, and besides that, He created the stars. A while back, our family took some time to go out west, and we would sit out there at night, and we would look at the stars, and then we'd see Elon Musk's what do you call it, satellites going over too. But you know, and we would look at all of those, and it was so wonderful. Now, I don't think science is always right in everything, but science would say that the closest star to us, other than the sun, is 4.3 miles away. I mean, sorry, 4.3 light years away. So light travels at 186, approximately 186,000 miles a second. So if you got a vehicle here tonight that has 180, 190,000, it would take light 1 second to travel that far. And so I got thinking about this, and you can't just take a regular calculator to do this. But so I thought, okay, so light travels 186,000 miles in a second, so there's 60 seconds in a minute. So I had to multiply 186,000 times 60, and then there's 60 minutes in an hour, so I had to take that number and multiply it by 60, and then there's 24 hours in a day, and so I had to take 24 hours and multiply that number, and then that number had to be multiplied. There's 365 and a quarter days in a year. That's why we have leap year. And then I had to take that number and multiply it by 4.3, which is the light years. And I believe you come up with around 5 billion miles. That would make a dent in our national debt. You know? That's the closest one. Sometimes I sit out there and I think, how can that be that the closest star, that light left that star 4.3 years ago? And I'm just seeing it now, and it's traveling at 186,000 miles. I ran into a guy down in Georgia. He was at Bible school. If you ever have a chance, have him come here. Morris Yoder is his name. And he will blow you away at what he knows about the stars, and you can go to his place, and he has huge telescopes and stuff that you can look out. His dad was gored by a bull when he was about 5, and he died, and I think his son saw him, and he said, I was lonely, I missed my dad, and he said, I would go out in the night and just lay there in the grass and look up at the stars and pray to God, and I'd talk to God. And through all of that, he just blows you away with the information and what he can show you and the slides and stuff that he has. It's unbelievable. But yeah, the greatness of our God, it's just so, so wonderful. Just, you know, and the miracles that he does, it's so simple for him, you know. And here's a miracle that happened to us just in the last year or two. And it's not that, you know, I don't know. I'll just tell you the story. But our daughter, she's 18 now, and she had some money from, I don't know if she had babysit or what, and she had $40, and she had put it in a piece of paper, just a kind of a scrap piece of paper, and folded it up, and she dropped it out in the garage when she was coming in or something. And the next day, mother, you know, like she often has to do, is going around picking up people's stuff, you know. And she's seen this scrap piece of paper, so she just picked it up, and she thought it was just a scrap piece of paper, threw it in a trash can. Later on, she took the garbage out. We have a block barrel out there, and she poured it in there, and she burned it, not knowing that that money was in there. And so later, our daughter, Brianna, she came down, and she said, Mom, she said, did anybody see, I had a piece of paper with some money, $40 laying in here. And my wife said, oh, honey, she said, I am sorry. She said, I thought that was scrap. And she said, I put it in the trash can, and she said, I burnt the trash. And so my wife just decided to walk out and just kind of see if somehow maybe it would have, you know, and blowing out of the trash can or something. And she walked over and she looked in the burn barrel, and everything was burnt except for one folded piece of paper. It was not even singed. I wish I would have kept it, because I bet you if I'd have smelled it, it might not even have smelled like fire, right? That's how it was when the boys came out of the furnace, you know. But, you know, it's not that we could not have lived without that $40, but isn't it neat how the power of God and different things, how God cares for us, and he has that power, and, you know, it was a miracle. And, you know, God is, every time he saves someone and fills him with the Holy Spirit of God, it's a miracle. So turn to 2 Timothy now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we want to look at some things here. We don't have time to spend a lot of time in these verses, but in 2 Timothy, I'll get it here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is talking about the times, you know, it's actually kind of, sometimes I think, anyhow, this is the day that we live in. Let's just say it that way. But I just want to pick a few things out of it. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, that is just amazing as we read through these verses. I'm not going to go spend a lot of time in this, but a few of the things that really stand out to me is they were unthankful. Do we live in a time that people are unthankful? My grandpa lived in the Depression, and they would eat large sandwiches. How would you like that? Young people, how would we like that? But that's what they had, lard sandwiches. You know, and I've kind of noticed that growing up, I think I was a little more thankful than the generation now, maybe. But we can fall into those things. We become unthankful, you know. I've said in restaurants, and the parents ordered the food for children, came out, it wasn't what they wanted, they refused to eat it. We get hard on the children of Israel, but let's face it, manna 3 times a day, 7 days a week, How long would it take? Ladies, maybe you should try that on your husbands, okay? Just make them manna meal up and see how long it says, do we have anything different in here, you know? They'll be unthankful. And, you know, it's amazing how easy it is. I think the more we get, the more unthankful we become. Back in 1999, we went to Nicaragua after Hurricane Mitch came through there, and we spent some time over there, and we rebuilt a little community of 20 houses, and with the government gave the ground, and you would know Robert Maria Miller. We went over with them. Some of you would know Robert Maria, and they could speak Spanish, and I couldn't. But so we went over for some time, and we built those houses, and they were 16 by 20 brick house with a metal roof and a dirt floor with an outside latrine, which is a bathroom. They call them latrines over there. And those people were so excited when it came. We marked all the houses, and they drew out, and their hands were shaking sometimes because they were so excited about getting a house that we would say is hardly fit for our chickens. I'm not saying that God is asking us to live that way, okay? But how thankful am I? The Bible says in the end times, and I tell you, why I'm saying this is, one of the reasons why I'm saying this is that a power killer in our lives is being unthankful. When we become unthankful for what Christ has done for us, we become critical, we become whatever. And then there was a man who brought, I don't know how many payday candy bars he brought, but almost a lot of the days at break, he would pass out to us payday candy bars. And so these little children sometimes, so there was little children around there, and I'm like, man, I hate to sit there and eat this whole payday candy bar myself, you know. So I would break off some and I would give it to a child. You know, maybe it was that much. In America, somebody'd say, is that all? But they would run to their other friends, and they would take a little piece, and they would hand it to them. And they'd take another little piece, and they would hand it to them. And, yeah. And, you know, we can become so unthankful. You know, I think I've probably said this before. You go to the pantry, and there's shelves of food, and you say, isn't there anything to eat? Yeah, you know, what you're saying is oh, I don't see what sounds good tonight. But anyhow, so being unthankful is a power killer. And then here's another thing in verse 5 that is very interesting. It says that people will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and it says that we should turn away from those people. Now, I find that interesting. Having a form of godliness, I think that could mean either in attire or in speech or some of the things that they say in their conversation, in their way of life. But he says that they will have a form of godliness, and they'll say a lot of good things, or maybe they'll do a lot of good things, but they don't have the power of God upon their life. He says, turn away from them. I don't have all the answers for that, but that's a powerful thing. You know, in these end days, I want to be with brothers and sisters that have the power of God on their lives. Amen? That's right. Because we're going to need it. I just don't want to be with a group of people that wears dresses or skirts and a covering and don't wear shorts or whatever, and they have no power. I don't want that. I want the power of God. I'm for those things, don't get me wrong. But that's not, I want the power of God with those things, let me say. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's not, you know, we need the power of God on our lives. And God has been so laying that on my heart lately, that the power of God for making decisions in the times that we live in. is so, so important. And the devil is so busy and so deceptive. In Acts, when the power of God came upon them, when the Spirit of God came upon them, it changed them. Let's turn to that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it's a very well-known verse. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And brothers and sisters tonight, we need that Holy Spirit power in our lives. And forget the garbage that since I have the Spirit of God, I can kind of just do whatever I want. That is not of God. It's a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. Okay? The Spirit of God will never take you against His Word. Okay? So don't let down the principles of God's Word and then get real churchy on me. That's what it's talking about here. Okay? You know, I know there's different people and different places going different directions. I understand all of that, and I want to have grace for all of that. But when the Spirit of God is working in our lives, He will draw us closer to Him and closer to His Word, and will give us power to be able to do that. You know, sometimes I'm amazed at, well, let's back up a moment. Sometime back, I was meeting with a number of young guys in the morning. We'd meet at, 6 or 6:30 on Tuesday mornings, and we'd just share together and pray with each other. And we got talking about the times that we live in, and we got talking about that, would I be strong enough to die for God? And we talked about this for a while, and then we came to this conclusion that let's just live for God today. And live for God tomorrow and the next day. And if we live in the power of God, if we have to face that, He'll give us the power to do that. You see, it's just like this. Day after day, we move towards that power and towards that power. And that power of God works in our lives. You know, I hear people say sometimes, I'm going to tell everybody I meet today about Jesus. And I'm like, whatever. Why not try to talk to those who the Spirit of God lays on your life? Talk to. It's all right to have an idea to want to share the gospel, but, you know, that almost becomes a works thing. We had a friend years ago. We was in Ponderosa in Auburn there. There used to be a Ponderosa there. And I was sitting there, and, you know, I felt the Spirit of God speaking to me. And I have to be honest with you, I noticed this man over there, and why I noticed him was as he was bringing back plates full of food. He would get a plate of strawberries. I mean rounding. And he'd eat it. And he was a big old boy. And he was built too, and he had a big old bushy beard and long hair. And I felt the Spirit of God just saying, why don't you go over and talk with him? And so, after a while, I went over and I said, hey, how you doing? He said, my wife died. He said, it's just me and the dog. And we talked a little bit, and I was getting ready to leave, and he had told me where he lived. He lived in this little town called Garrett, not too far from where we live. And I felt the Spirit of God saying, why don't you go ask him if he would mind if I came and visited him sometime? And so I walked over and I said, hey, I just kind of wondering, would you mind a visitor sometime? He said, 212 Peter Street. He wasn't a man of a lot of words, okay? He just says, 212 Peter Street. I thought, good enough. And so, you know, one day, my father was still living. And I said, hey, Dad, I met this guy. I know he likes to go out to lunch at Ponderosa. He goes there. He was a man of habit. He started going to Ponderosa day after day after day. For lunch or whatever. And so I said, Dad, would you want to go with me? I said, we'll go over there close to lunchtime and see if he wants to go. And so We went over and he came to the door. Yeah, he did. He became a tremendous friend to our family. He grew in the Lord. He died loving the Lord. He did tell me that the first time I came, he did have a ball bat right there by the door. He didn't tell me that right away. But, you know, and then he would tell me things like this. He said, "You have no idea what you have, Terry, in your wife and in your children. Bob lived a hard life. He spent time in prison. He was a bodybuilder. He was on the cover of a bodybuilding magazine. He worked in the circus, was in gangs in Detroit. But he died loving God." You know? A little while before he died, he called me. He was in the nursing home. He said, "Hey, would you come up?" And so I went up, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" He said, "The devil's just right outside the door there." He was feeling that oppression, all the things he had done. You know, but the power and the spirit of the leading of God. Here's one that I didn't fare so good. A while back, I was kind of talking with a guy and I left, and I kind of felt afterwards, why didn't you just say something to him about the Lord? And I didn't. You know? I'm like us all. We're all, you know, sometimes we really hit it and sometimes we fail. But to have that Holy Spirit of God leading us and controlling us and directing us, you know, it's so powerful. Okay, take your Bibles. I want to show you an illustration here this evening. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 to 18. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." You know, and we don't have time tonight. Those verses there could be a whole thing of them, a whole message, easy in itself. But there is a couple points. Redeeming the time. Redeeming is present. What has happened today and before, we cannot redeem. We can only redeem right now and the moments that God has in store for us. So don't let the devil discourage you in thinking that, well, back there you wasn't what you should have been. Maybe you wasn't. Repent of that and redeem the time now, okay? Redeem the time now. And he says, he talks about different understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there is a lot of confusion on what is truth and what is right and who's going to make it and who isn't. But I tell you, when we get serious with God, he'll show us in our own lives what he wants from us. That power of God working in our lives. And as I think about that, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." Now, I think we've done a pretty good job of overall, you know, not drinking and being drunk with wine and those types of things. I think we can put that there, but I wonder if we sometimes miss the second part of that verse. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," but what does it say? "But be filled with the Spirit of God." Filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, so we're going to do a little illustration here tonight. This is a glass, and this glass represents our life. And, you know, when we talk about giving Jesus our heart, we're really giving him our inner man, aren't we? He doesn't come and live in that organ, but he comes and he empowers us and fills us with his Holy Spirit and those types of things. And so I believe that when we are born again and we are saved, that we're sanctified, right? We're sanctified. We're not perfect, and God's going to still show us things, but I believe that we're sanctified, but we're going to continue to be sanctified. It's sort of like a progressive, growing sanctification. And so when we are born again, we are right before God, but God has a lot of things in life to show us yet. And so so we come to God, and we're going to say that this water is the Spirit of God, okay? Is that glass full? It's not a trick question. Is it full? Okay? Would it be filled enough with the Spirit to join church here? You don't have to answer that. It's something to think about, though. Or am I filled enough to join the church here? So, okay, let's put a little more in. So, now is it full? Would you say that's full, ma'am? Okay. Is it full? Oh, boy, you guys. So, if you was my waitress and I was at a restaurant and I said, I want a full glass of water, would you say that was full? But is it full? No. You're right. You're right. It's not full. So I believe that when we are saved, we are filled with the Spirit of God. And this doesn't have to happen, but as time moves on, we sometimes become lax and we lose that first love possibly, or we're not spending that time with God anymore, or we're not forgiving our brother, or we're going places we shouldn't, or whatever that might be. And so right now that glass is full of the Spirit of God, but then a hard spot comes in there. And we kind of work with that a little bit, and we kind of, well, that's just how that person is, and I know I'm looking at some stuff I shouldn't be, but another hard spot comes, and then time goes on, and another hard spot comes, and time goes on, and another hard spot comes, and we start to notice that, man, I just don't have that peace like I used to have, and I don't feel the presence of God and the Spirit of God controlling me. You see, the reason why I don't think it's wise to go down the line of alcohol and wine and things as necessarily is because as we get addicted to that, it begins to what? It begins to control us. You know, Todd knows this better than I do, but there's many people in prison that probably don't remember doing their crime because they was under the influence of something other than Jesus Christ. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. And so God says, don't do that, because when you're under that influence, you'll go some places, you'll say some things, you'll do some things that you wasn't planning to do. But because you're under the influence of that, you will. But he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And see, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll say some things and we'll do some things and we'll go some places that we wasn't planning to do, but it'll be for the glory of God. And so being under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God is what every believer will have if he is sincere with God. And sometimes we get these hard spots in there, and we know they're in there, and a term today that is almost forgotten sometimes is the word repentance. I'm just going to try to do better. Guy, young man told me, he said, I'm going to try to be a Christian. I said, devil's fine with that until you decide to be a Christian. You know? And so we get these hard spots. And so, you know, we start thinking, man, something's wrong. And so, well, we think maybe we'll go to Bible school and we'll pour on a little water there, pour on a little Holy Spirit there. And that doesn't really do it. And well, we'll have revival meetings and maybe we'll go to a Spirit-led seminar. And that doesn't do it. And, well, maybe we'll read some books. And sometimes we try everything but to just repent of the hard spots. This is what repentance is. It's coming before God, pouring out our life before Him. He already knows the hard spots are in there. The sin's in there. He knows that. Why are we so ashamed to tell Him that? And see, then as we repent and we come back to God, then the Spirit of God can once again fill us. And then when we go to Bible school, we're full and running over. When we read good books, we're full and running over. When we have revival meetings, we're full and running over. An unwilling heart to surrender everything to God is a power killer in our life. It's in my life. Anytime, any place, anything, anybody. I know, but that's what it means to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't mean we're perfect, no, but we're striving to be everything that God wants us to be. And so, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 for our last verse here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. Well, we'll read 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And it stood out to me because it's some of the things I've been kind of thinking about a little bit. But I think it was Brother Todd the first night. He talked about it. It wasn't quite stated like this, but I think it's exact. I think we're thinking down the same line, that we're kept by the power of God, but we have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world in order to have that power of God. And so that world is thinking that's contrary to the thinking of God. And so as I want to be full and overflowing, you know, we sing that child song, "My cup is full and running over." Is it? Let's pray. Father, tonight we live what it appears like to us to be in the end of the end times, Lord, that things are totally radical and out of control. And yet, God, thank you that your Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to keep us. Thank you that power is there to keep us faithful unto the end. And Lord, tonight I pray for each person that is here. I just pray, Father, that we would all be willing to allow you to remove those stones from our lives, those sins that maybe are keeping us. And maybe, I'm sure there's people here tonight that don't have those, but yet the devil is going to attack them in the days ahead. He is relentless, and we have those spots that you want us to just give to you. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask that the power of darkness would be removed from our lives, and that the glorious power of your Holy Spirit could shine through, that we would tap into your Holy Spirit, allow your Holy Spirit to cause us to be things that we wasn't even planning on being, simply because we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just keep our heads bowed right now. And I'm not going to beg, I'm not going to sing. But if tonight God spoke to you and he said, you know, there's something in your life that's that's keeping you from whatever. Or maybe you just want to make a vow to, I want to keep my vessel clean. I want to be filled. I have to empty myself in order to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm just going to ask you tonight, as we wait here a couple moments, if you would like to make that vow or that commitment to God, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are, and then we will have a prayer if you stand. And so I'm just going to open that up. Maybe there's a spot in your heart tonight. Maybe you just want to make that vow again to God that I want to be clean before you. Whatever it is, I'm just going to give you that opportunity to proclaim before God and these people that that is what you're doing. We're just going to pause here for a few moments. God bless you. God bless you. God bless every one of you as you seek Him. God knows your heart. Anyone else? Thank you for allowing God to work in your life and just give those things to God. And maybe you're just trying to make that vow that I want to be completely clean. Father, tonight, I thank you for how your Holy Spirit works in our lives. And thank you for the power that we have that's available to us. And I just pray, Father, that your will would be done. Lord, bless. Lord, I will stand with these dear brothers and sisters who have stood. And Lord, I too have those rocks in my life and those sins that just want to creep in. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus right now that the powers of darkness would be driven out of our lives and that the Holy Spirit of God could just have free access. Thank you for knocking. Thank you for being a gentleman. Thank you for coming in when we open up to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. And let's just sing that verse, that song, We've Got the Power. We've got the power. In the name of Jesus, we've got the power. In the name of the Lord, though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord. I didn't ask you to come up tonight, but if someone that stood or someone that didn't, I'm sure someone here, a brother, one of the pastors, a brother or sister, be willing to talk with you if you feel that need. So just, you know, if you feel that need, totally feel free with that. But God bless you for coming, and you are dismissed.